Good morning, and welcome in to a Victory Monday edition of The Blitz. Me and Andy don't entirely have our voices edition of
Very
The
limited.
Blitz.
Do we want to test them out real quick, see how high we can go?
You first? I mean...
Yeah, just like a little test drive.
Just a little test drive?
Yeah, just to see where you can go.
Like how high I can get it?
Yeah, just like...
I can get it up. No. I can't get it much higher. I don't know. I have to keep it really low.
Come on. That's about it.
I can keep it soft. I was trying to like... I tried to sing along in the car this morning and it just went away.
No, yeah.
But, Victory Monday. And this time... We're experiencing the truest of all Victory Mondays.
Yeah, congratulations.
You have to wait until
first
tonight
time
for yours.
Yeah, tonight. Yeah, you're right. It's no fun waiting until Monday.
It's kind of the worst.
Yeah, it's not good. But congratulations. It's your first double Victory Monday. Both teams from Tennessee being successful this weekend. It has to feel great.
Many more to come.
First of many.
What was a louder environment, the Titans yesterday or Tennessee football on Saturday?
It's real, real tough. I don't know.
Two pretty big games.
I mean, the people directly in front of me would just probably tell you that both were the maximum amount of loudness because they're probably hating their lives today. I mean, I yelled, I think, as loud as I physically could. Both days for the entirety of both games.
Yeah.
Which, like, at the Vols game, that's normal. But at the Titans game, like, people were just like, who is this guy? Like, why is there just a guy in 312 that's just screaming as loud as he can?
How much percentage of Nissan Stadium do you think were at the Florida game the day previous?
I would say that there's a couple
If
thousand.
You just had to guess, yeah.
A couple I thousand.
Mean, obviously, people from Nashville
you
who
like
drive
maybe
in.
Like a 1,500 person overlap between Tennessee, Florida, Tennessee, Oakland.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
Las
I mean
Vegas.
There might be. I think you're probably in the minority there, Charlie. I don't know if there's too many people that are going through that much of that emotional of a Tennessee win and then hitting the road the next morning to drive back down.
Yeah, because it was a 3:30 Tennessee football and then quick turnaround. You know, noon Central. So it is a quick turnaround, but obviously
I mean,
you're a success story.
I think there were times that I was the only person. I think that there have been times where I've been the only person to have gone to both the Tennessee Vols and Tennessee Titans game in a weekend, like I think. Like when they've played in
I feel like there's always one.
When they've played in like Athens, Georgia on a Saturday night.
Sure.
And then the Titans played at noon on Sunday. Like, I don't know. I might have been the only one that did that.
Yeah. Like not a lot of people are dedicated enough to that turnaround.
Well, not only that, it was just like, why would we go to Athens? It was when we were really – it was not going to go well, and we all knew it was going to go poorly.
Gotcha.
Or like when Tennessee – when the Garantano fumble happened, when we played Alabama at like 9:30 at night. Yeah, I was there next day at noon too.
Wow.
Nissan Stadium.
And Tuscaloosa is not easy to get out of either.
No. I was really sleepy on that drive home, I'll be honest. But yeah – it was a good weekend. A lot of Raiders fans.
Really?
There's always a lot of whoever fans. It's Nashville. It's the one plus spot that everyone circles on their schedule every year. I mean, because, you know, I think every fan base has a conversation, like people that go to games. Hey, let's go to an away game this year. Let's go see a city this year. Let's plan something. Yeah, I know I have that talk every single year. And when teams have that conversation and – one of the destinations is Nashville, especially during this time of the year. Yeah, they choose Nashville. I mean,
it's
and
fair.
The four seats to the left.
It's also very central.
Four seats to the left of me, the two seats down and to the left of me, and the two seats back and to the left of me are all PSL holders that sell their tickets to away fans every game and have been for like a decade. So
wow.
I'm always surrounded by visiting fans, and I have the same conversations every week. Yeah, we always just try to go to one game every year, and we saw Nashville, and we just couldn't resist, and it's just such a fun city. You guys are all so nice and welcoming.
Well, maybe I'll sit next to you during the Cowboys game in December.
Well, in my section, I'm trying to start a different movement, make Nashville mean again.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't let
anyone. Say one disrespectful thing to a visiting fan every game, at least. And let's make this
a more hostile environment
so maybe people quit circling Nashville every time. People don't circle Philly because their people are trash and their stadium is gross and the city smells like garbage. You know, people don't go to a lot of places because the fans are bad and hostile.
Sure.
But Nashville is just, oh, Southern hospitality and good hot chicken, and I'm tired of it.
One thing I did, I know we'll talk about the Tennessee-Florida game, but one thing I did notice was there weren't as many Florida fans there as I feel like recent away game or recent home SEC games that I've seen between Tennessee and Florida. I was, you know, normally you see a lot more blue on the upper decks. It was mainly in that one little square.
I was struggling to find people to chomp at walking out of that stadium.
Yeah, no.
I needed some more Florida fans to
I feel like it's just, you know, Tennessee fans just really won. They wanted to go to this game, so it's not a lot of people were giving up their tickets. And then, yeah, it just was a lot more, not a lot less blue in there than normal.
That was like one of the first things I said was, I looked at my dad and I was like, where all the Florida fans? Less Florida fans.
I mean, there's obviously, it's so easy to spot them because the blue and the orange are so contrasting. So there was definitely, you could see the blue spread out. But like normally you see a lot of away teams like kind of fill up that top upper deck kind of near the east skybox or the Jumbotron. Right. It wasn't that on Saturday.
No, I mean, it was pretty great. You were sitting in a suite, weren't you?
Yeah, it was. First time. Isn't that cool?
It kind of sucks, doesn't it?
Well, I did like a nice half and half. I got to enjoy the first half from up here. And then second half, I met some friends down in the upper deck. So I got a nice experience of enjoying it from a good spot. And getting some food, and then I got to lose my voice in the crowd, which was fun.
I've never been a suite guy.
I'm personally not either.
Like I've sat in one. I think at a Preds
it's
game
like watching
once.
It on TV a little bit,
right?
And if I'm gonna go to the game, I'd rather definitely like be amongst the crowd. That just happened to be the ticket that I could get,
of course.
So it worked out that way.
It's how it works out for most people. It's just, oh man, the only ticket I can get is the suite. Stupid.
No,
suite
it's ticket. Just like, yeah, no. I mean, my parents have that, so like they had an extra ticket, so I took it. And then, you know, got to go sit down in the lower half for the second half. So I feel like I got the best of both worlds. I do like, obviously, the suite's pretty cool. Can't complain about that. But like, I mean, for that game, it's like I want to be a part of that buzz a little bit, you know? Third down for what just played, and here I am behind a glass screen.
I couldn't hear third down for what either time.
I could not hear it at all.
You barely could. No, yeah, it was just like you
saw
the graphic on the Jumbotron.
I was like, are they playing it right
now?
I watched the replay, and I heard third down for what play, and I was like, are you, am I nuts? Like, did they ever play this song? I never heard it. It was like that loud down in that student section. You couldn't even hear third down for what.
Yeah, I heard
on.
Some people talk. Let me try that again. I just got to keep it down here. I heard some people talking after the game saying that, like, they didn't think it was as loud as they expected, and like the environment, like, kind of disappointed at times, and it felt like there was a nervous energy. Maybe it was just sitting in different spots in the stadium, but like, I was sitting in the south end zone. And I thought it was one of the loudest environments I've been in that stadium. Like
it got loud at a lot of points.
I mean, I couldn't hear the band. I couldn't hear any of the stadium audio. Couldn't hear, I don't know, were the referees' mics messed up or was it just that loud?
I couldn't hear most of them.
Like you couldn't hear a thing in the south end zone. So I don't know, maybe it just didn't feel as loud other places. But sitting there on that in that like Saturday, I fully thought, especially when you've caught the game-clinching interception, like Nealon was a consistent wall of noise, and it had some really high peaks, too.
You know, I feel like it does kind of depend on where you sit sometimes. If you sit in that lower bowl, I feel like it's louder. Like, the closer you are to the field, I feel like it's a lot louder.
Well, if you sit under the awning at all.
Oh, it's very loud. I was sitting under the awning for the Oklahoma game, so you can imagine how crazy that was.
I think like
once
you get back up under the awning, though, it like blocks out the noise.
Well, no, like you got people hitting the wall behind you, and like it just, I felt like it was loud for that one. Like it kind of like the noise gets like suffocated underneath the overhang, and it's like almost louder because you hear the echoes through the hallway a little bit. I don't know. I feel like from my experience, like sitting lower makes it a lot louder sometimes. Like being on the field, I feel like it's a lot louder than if you're like in the upper decks, you know, when you're just yelling down, you're not hearing people behind you as much, you know?
Yeah, sometimes I sit in the upper deck every Titans game, and sometimes I'm like, I wonder how loud it is down there.
Exactly. I feel
like if they can hear me.
Yeah, I feel like on the field is like where you feel it, obviously, because you got so many people yelling down at you. True.
There might be times where they're just like, it's third down in the first quarter, and like there's just one guy up there yelling. We like that guy.
Yep. Secondary can hear you.
Sam, how was your weekend? Everything? What was it like being a student for that game?
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I mean, I can't.
Welcome.
It's indescribable, you know, what that what that stadium is like, you know, once it gets going down there in the student section and everything. It was just an awesome weekend, man. Can't wait to do it again. For
fun after?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good time.
Were they burning anything on Saturday?
I think people now that we're 4-0, I think people are like
professional.
I was telling this to one of my buddies. I was like, you know, people can't really call us crazy anymore for saying that we're going to win these big games. We're number 8 in the country now. Like, we're only a couple spots away from that playoff spot. Like, it's not crazy to say that we might beat Bama now too. Like, I think people were saving their couches to burn for the possible Bama upset.
In 2016, I remember I had to drive back to campus from the hotel that we were staying at. I was a senior in high school.
Good luck.
I had to drive back to campus the morning after.
Okay.
That Sunday morning to go find my friend that didn't go back to the hotel. And I remember just driving through the fort, and there were just like couches that had since the flames had you know, dissipated. They were just all kinds of like burned ash just all over. I was wondering if it got that way too, because I didn't go down like near the strip after the game at all. Or Sunday, so I was just like, oh, I wonder how how crazy things
What's
got.
What's going on?
Yeah. I didn't go down towards the strip either after the game. Honestly, I went down to Old City. I walked from Neyland to Old City, and just
is that supposed to be impressive?
Well, I mean, there was just it was a mob of people like all the way from
that
there.
Is
like,
impressive. Good job.
I wasn't expecting there to be that many people. I
walk all the way back
the
to my apartment across the river after every game. It's awful.
Hey, but it was a good weekend. A double win, like Andy's saying. Felt good to get that Titans win and get that Vols win. It's hard to – my phone's a little messed up. I mean, it's not even broken, and my phone doesn't even, like, register touch. I'm going to have to go to the Apple store
after sacrifice.
This.
A sacrifice had to be made.
Yeah. You know, I can't have all
like,
good things happen to me.
It'd be one thing, too, if it happened, like, celebrating, and, like, it was a good night, and, like, it slipped out of your pocket. But you just went to bed and woke up just broken.
I got through all of the celebration, plugged my phone in completely fine on Saturday night, and woke up Sunday morning with a phone that did not function. So it's fine.
Was there any potential water damage?
No. I mean, it's completely fine. I have no idea
Did you maybe have, like, a glass of water on your bedside or something?
My phone was in my bed. It's a mystery.
if
Apple can't unlock my phone, man, it's gonna. I don't know. This afternoon's gonna suck if this is like a more complicated issue than them just being able to unlock it somehow. It's gonna suck.
Well, I just realized you said that. Welcome to the club.
Yeah,
you too, Bo.
I think it needed you to graduate for Tennessee to beat Florida again.
I mean, yeah, pretty much the year before I went to college, we beat Florida, and now 2 years out of college, we beat Florida again.
Yeah,
you guys will just get that, and I won't.
Now that Charlie's out of school, we may just start a dynasty.
It's a streak. Streak is going. Yeah,
I saw us have multiple. Like, I think I saw us like have two seasons that combined for like one SEC win while I was in college. I got to see us beat like one ranked team in 4 years. So, yeah, I mean, I guess two ranked teams.
Even through some of those years, though, we had, you know, fun wins.
I guess.
But, like, you know, obviously you didn't beat Florida, so, like, that's one you want. And I'm happy for you, Sam, that you got one.
Thank you.
Here at the tail end, yeah.
It's awesome.
It does feel good.
To have that, like, that buzz of a top 10 team your last year of the school, like, this place just feels different. You can definitely feel it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
And I feel, and, like, everything feels, like, on the rise now. I mean, talk about hype already for Tennessee basketball, and then, you know, Tony Vitello on game day pumping up the crowd on the Jumbotron. It's just like, wow, you know, things are together. Like,
things
look great, you know.
It was just a great day for the university.
Yeah.
Right? I mean,
they got to show
Tony
out.
Tony Vitello and
yeah,
Danny White's got to be sitting there just licking his chops, like rubbing his hands together.
I think
he was just like, man, all these people. They were so mad at me when I told them to text a buddy. They all freaked out. They all got so mad when I hired Josh Heupel. But now look, our baseball team is in the best place it's been in a long time, if not ever. Our football team is headed in a fantastic direction. Your revenue is headed in a fantastic direction. You have a wonderful partnership with Spire Sports. Your basketball team is just won an SEC championship, and even like your secondary athletics and your Olympic sports,
yeah.
I mean, like, Eve Rackham has the volleyball team in a good spot. Like, the soccer team just won an SEC championship. Tennis is incredible. Like, swimming. All across the board, there is not an athletic program in the country, really, that is experiencing, like, the overall just rounded success that Tennessee is. And
it's very fun.
We've seen some dark days, so that's pretty cool. But we're off and rolling here in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, and we'll get into Tennessee, Florida on the other side. Back here on the Blitz, as we get set now to talk Tennessee, Florida. I mean, holy cow, what a victory for Tennessee. You dominate most of the second half. You hold on to win 38-33, and you finally break through. I mean, the moment has been here so many times between now and 2016, really in the last – even, you know, with the one breakthrough in 2016, that moment has just come and gone so many times, and so many times you've left disappointed. So many times this fan base has just been dying for a team that's deserved the loyalty that they've shown and the uncomparable passion that they've shown. We've seen over and over again just the buildup for a big game like this, and ultimately you get let down on Saturday, but... You know, despite trying your best to let it get away from you in an all-time Tennessee fashion, you hang on and you beat Florida. And you know, I think you make a statement. I think you make a statement that you're not really scared of the big game anymore. Does that mean you're going to be able to go win them? No, the big game is still the big game because you're playing another really talented team. But I don't think there's that anxiety that exists anymore. I don't think there's going to be the looking at Tennessee and, well, you know, they always collapse in these moments. Well, you know, this is where they fall apart. You know, I think Heupel is creating a culture and a team that is moving past that. And Saturday is kind of the indicator of that. And it's not like Florida was a great team, but just they were a good team and, you know, they were a ranked team and given the matchup history, given everything that was at stake, you know, during that football game, it's absolutely a massive win. Just feels good that these fans deserve it, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want this to be something that I laugh at 3 years from now and say, "What were you saying, Charlie? What were you doing?" But it does just feel a little different this time. You know, it feels like you have like the perfect balance with Heupel of. Just a little bit of everything. And I thought he killed it Saturday, too. I thought he was a star on Saturday with how he handled the media in the big game buildup.
Yeah, I think you said it right. Like I think I mentioned this after the Pittsburgh win as well 2 weeks ago. You know, although the Pittsburgh game wasn't pretty, you know, there were moments in this Florida game that weren't pretty. But I feel like the entire time, you didn't feel any anxiousness. You didn't feel like this was something that Tennessee was going to let slip away. You didn't feel like this was something, you know, you weren't confident that this team would find a way to win. And you haven't had that in a lot of years. And I don't know what it is, if it's just the body language from the quarterback, if it's the leadership from the team, is it the body language of the whole team? Is it the coach? Is it the way that this coaching staff is handling themselves? It's probably a combination of everything, but you feel like, yeah, they're not anxious about any situation. I feel like they play their own game. I feel that they are so confident in themselves and in finishing things off. Like, I was anxious just, you know, as a third party just watching, and I was like, man, how hard would it be on this first drive to kind of collect your thoughts if you're Hendon Hooker in this offense or if you're this defense? Like, I'd be very anxious, but you just didn't feel that way. Like, from the start, you didn't have a team that was, you know, oh, we're really timid because this is a big game, we need to get over the hump. You didn't really feel that, and that's kind of what they were speaking on all week. Like, we viewed this as another week. Like, we view this as, you know, we're playing hard for this 1 week and then on to the next. We're not looking at the past. That doesn't matter. This is a brand new Florida team. And they kind of played that way too. So you have to think what they're saying, you know, leading up to these games are actually what they mean. And that's really encouraging I didn't feel like there was a moment where, you know, Tennessee wasn't going to compete in this game at any point. Even when Florida was up a couple of times in that first half, you always, I feel like, knew that Tennessee was going to respond in some way. And that's just, it really is a refreshing feeling, like knowing that you can feel confident in these guys because they're confident in themselves.
Absolutely. And, well, obviously, we'll dive into this game a lot further, but I want to open the phone lines up, 865-546-8200, the big orange Philly phone lines, because we have a call from Matthew on the line right now. And Matthew, happy Victory Monday. You also, I guess, are experiencing the double Victory Monday.
Happy Victory Monday, fellas. That was sweet, and I'm really happy for Sam, and I'm really happy for Andy as well. You know, I was there in college from 11 to 16. You know, everybody takes an extra year victory lap, and 16 was awesome. But watching that on television was – it just reminded me, I think, you know, we're still a lot of football left. But, you know, beating Florida is still and will always be such a great feeling. And, fellas, I want to have a little fun here with Charlie here. I want y'all to get in the time machine and go back – June. All right, so we're all kind of going through the summer conditioning, and I just want to give you a little quote unquote hot take from Charlie Collier here, fellas.
Uh-oh.
Oh no,
I don't see the hype in Bro McCoy. I don't think we even need
quoted.
Can you read that one more time?
I don't understand the hype in Bro McCoy. I don't think we need him.
Merit on that a little
well,
bit.
Well, Matthew.
Charlie, we all make mistakes.
I will say this. I'm very glad that I'm wrong. If I'm going to be wrong, I'm glad that it's in this kind of way rather than me being wrong about all the things that I liked about Tennessee. I wish I would be wrong about, you know, I wish I was wrong about every negative thing I predicted with the Tennessee Volunteers. So I'll eat my words there. Bro McCoy, a lot better than I anticipated when he was first being recruited this offseason.
We all make mistakes, buddy. I'm just giving you a hard time.
That was a good one.
That is a good one.
I was wondering if anybody would remember that.
Came back to get you.
Kind of bookmark stuff I have is probably unhealthy.
Keeping notes, always keeping notes.
Yeah, fellas, I want to talk real quick, and I'll hang up on this note. I know we're really, really disappointed with how the defensive show has shown so far in that game. After, I don't know if you had the chance to rewatch the game, but I don't think it's nearly as bad as we think. And here's why: we knew going into the season, our secondary was very questionable. And honestly, I think Rodney Garner is a great head coach. I mean, a great position coach. He's getting the best out of the defensive line. But if you watch that game, I mean, I don't know if it's just Florida's offensive line or our defensive line, but if you rewatch it, Richardson had all day to throw. I mean, it was like we'd finally get home and we would just miss the tackle. And I feel like if we can just clean up some things on the defensive line and just finally get to the quarterback, will be more consistent in the secondary. Now, I'm not saying that we're all of a sudden going to be, you know, Trayvon Flowers is going to be Alante Taylor, but I do think you'll see more zone from this defense. I'll let y'all dissect that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Matthew. I mean, always good to hear from you. Man, that Bro McCoy. I really didn't like Bro McCoy a whole lot at all. I thought he was going to be too slow. I thought he had been out of football for like a year and a half. I didn't think it was going to work out all that well. But, glad that he stepped up and played the way he did with Stead out. Actually, that was probably my favorite quote that came out from after the game, right? So, if you know, we sit here and we talk about Josh Heupel and the culture and everything else and just the environment and how Tennessee is a special place and how you can feel it. You can see that these players love each other, that they've bought in. Bro McCoy after the game, quote, "I had no idea what I was getting myself into when I got here. In the best possible way. I couldn't imagine the noise, the environment, all of it. Coming here is the best decision I've ever made." That speaks a lot. I mean, think that Josh Heupel in Tennessee, that 3 weeks into his, you know, Tennessee career, you know, 3 months really, if you think about the, how long he's been with the team, but 3 weeks, you know, into a season, into your first season, and the best decision I've ever made. Fully committed to that. Like, that's awesome. You know, that I think
that's just another win.
Such a big recruiting boost. Yeah. Yeah.
That's a whole nother win for the coaching staff, because, I mean, just one, you feel so happy for him, just given where he was. You know, USC didn't play last year. It had been a long time since he had been on the field, kind of going back and forth, and then you didn't know if he was going to play even this season or what his eligibility was like. Like, how many games would he even miss? And then he does get cleared, and for him to have such an impact on one of the biggest games already in the season, and for him to be such a focal point in the office of the offense, I mean, that has to just feel like, you can't even describe that feeling. Like, that guy has to be on top of the world. Like, you've got to feel so happy for him.
Absolutely. And you know, as for the defense, Matthew, I do want to talk about the defense, because I think there is kind of a lot to unpack there. But I think that'll be a lengthy conversation, so we'll just go ahead. We'll catch a break here on the other side. We'll really kind of get into the Tennessee defense and you know, where the ceiling is for that unit. So stay with us here on The Blitz. Back here on The Blitz, as we continue to talk Tennessee, Florida. Whew, man, I still feel so good sitting here right now just thinking about that. But we just went over the Big Orange Philly phone lines. Want to tell you about our friends at Big Orange Philly, located at 6625 Maynardville Pike in Halls. It's a great spot for a quick lunch for Philly and some beers with friends after work, or even, you know, a weekend night out. You can go play some pool, some darts, sing some karaoke. Sometimes they have some live music on the weekends. If you think you're in the mood for some Big Orange Phillies, but you can't make it out there, hey, they deliver via Grubhub as well. You can check out their full menu at BigOrangePhillies.com. Again, 6625 Maynardville Pike in Halls. We love Big Orange Phillies. But we left off the last segment there. Matthew posed the question. I guess just in general, he was asking about the defense. Specifically about the pass rush against a running quarterback. And I want to ask you this, Andy. What do you think really your ceiling is with a defense that is clearly flawed?
Ceiling in terms of what? Like,
can you win 10 games with this defense? Can you challenge Alabama or Georgia with this defense?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, one, I mean, if you take, I guess, put the offense aside for a minute and you know, don't imagine that they score 50 points against an Alabama or Georgia. I still do think they can compete. I mean, you would have liked to see them limit Anthony Richardson maybe a little bit in the passing game. I think the run defense did a great job on Saturday. I think the run defense did great. Obviously, we've seen that. I think we know that the run defense has been a positive. I think you contained Anthony Richardson in a good amount in terms of him trying to make a lot happen with his feet. Yeah, he picked up a few, but he rushed 17 times for 62 total yards. So, I mean, I feel like that's containing him to a good degree in terms of maybe even what he would like to do. But Anthony Richardson really did get the passing game going more than he has so in any of those games. Obviously, the touchdown, his first, he had two of them, 453 yards. And I'm struggling at this point to really decipher. I haven't gone back and looked at too much. I'm struggling to decipher, you know, was that just, you know, Anthony Richardson actually getting more in sync with his receivers and stepping up and playing a lot better? Or two, is it just, you know, kind of a lapse in coverage at a lot of times? And it probably was both a little bit. I did think Anthony Richardson looked a lot more crisp on a lot of his balls than he had in previous weeks. But there's just a few times, yeah, where he was able to make things happen, plays that probably shouldn't have been converted on third down, or a few things where he ran out of the pocket and made plays happen. He had those moments, and I think obviously that's one of the things that you go back and you're going to correct, because, yeah, it's going to be hard to make those kind of mistakes against a Georgia and an Alabama. But think about, I mean, just 2 weeks ago we were sitting around and saying this was a defense that won you the game against Pittsburgh. It was a defense that won that game. I know there was a lot of circumstances. You know, Keaton Slovis didn't play a full game, but it was a defense that won you that game at the end of the day, we were saying. So I think, you know, you take one performance where you give up a lot and you say, okay, you know, we can learn from that. And then you hope you get performances like you did against Pittsburgh and in moments like we saw against Florida, because you were still creating turnovers in big moments. This team has shown that they can capitalize and create turnovers. They've done it, and they did it again for twice. I think they've done it all season. They've committed multiple turnovers defensively. So I think it's one you can trust, but obviously, you know, it's not going to be the main piece. You can't just completely rely on them against an Alabama and a Georgia. Obviously, you got to have that offense.
Yeah, when I look at this defense, the secondary is bad. And I don't think that there's any way to really deny that, to work around that. I mean, it's just your secondary is below average. And I think that we kind of expected that coming into the season. Like, if you're upset with the defense, I ask you this, are you surprised? Like, did you expect anything different? The fact of the matter is this coaching staff took over a roster that was depleted, that specifically on the defensive side of the ball, you know, didn't have the same depth, the same talent that a lot of your SEC counterparts had because of the roster attrition that it happened when Jeremy Pruitt got fired. You know, that was just the fact of the matter. And you were lucky, you were fortunate a year ago to have Theo Jackson and to have Alante Taylor left over from that roster to kind of help, you know, cover it up a little bit. But that was a secondary that is going to need a rebuild that wasn't going to be able to be rebuilt quickly. Like, it was just, there was no way that with the roster that you inherited through the transfer portal and through recruiting that, you know, given the state of the program and given the roster you had, that you were going to be able to get in enough talent for that secondary to be anything but what they are. But they play hard. They're coached well. And I think that, you know, you're doing what you can defensively from a coaching perspective. And I do think that that's a good thing. Like, I'm in Tennessee. You're just playing soft coverage for the most part. You're trying to keep everything in front of you and tackle, and you're just trying to make teams earn it. You know, I think against a quarterback that has the threat of scrambling, we are a worse defense. I don't think that that's a good matchup for us. We try to blitz Anthony Richardson for contain on a consistent basis on Saturday, and well, you couldn't really contain him, but then when you're blitzing for contain, like, you don't necessarily get a ton of pressure either, so he was still able to escape the pocket at times, and like, you're right, he had a ton of time to throw. The secondary, good or bad, if Anthony Richardson has that time to throw, yeah, they're going to get beat. Like, a very good secondary is not going to hold coverage for that long, so that also doesn't help. But I think what you do is, again, you try to make offenses beat you 5 to 6 yards at a time, and you're just waiting for the first down or the second down that they make a mistake, they get behind the chains, and then you can try to be opportunistic on third down. That is all you really can do given the talent that's on this defense, and I think that you're doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, I don't know if you agree or disagree here, but like, to me, a drive that ends in a field goal is not a win or a loss. A drive that ends in a touchdown is a loss, and a drive that, you know, obviously doesn't result in points is a win for the defense. Like, if it's not 7, I'm not upset with the defense. The way that you have to play the game right now is you just have to control possessions. You want to have the possession advantage. And you know, your offense has to help out your defense in the sense that they're putting pressure on the opposing offense to score. And I think Florida felt that pressure. And you saw it on Saturday. You know, the defense is going to give up a ton of yards because they're not that great, you know, in the secondary. But they're not going to give up a ton of points necessarily because they can bend and not break, because they're well coached, because they strained to execute what they're coached to do. You get in some short, like early in the game, you know, Florida, yeah, they're driving on you. They get into your territory, but you're able to just continue to shorten the field, and all of a sudden things get tighter. You get them behind the chains, and they're stuck going forward on a couple fourth and shorts. They don't get them. Like, those are wins for the defense, even if you are giving up a ton of yards. So I still think that you can win a lot of football games for the time being playing defense like that. That's just you know, you hope that that's an area of your roster that you can rebuild. And if you're having these same problems in 2 years, you're more frustrated.
Yeah, I think at the beginning of the year, I think we remembered, we said, this defense, you're not going to need them to make the stop. You just need them to make a few key stops here and there. And that's kind of what they did against Florida. A couple of fourth down stops, a couple of turnovers. They made plays, and they allowed the offense to do their thing and be comfortable. They didn't make all the plays, a lot of things that didn't go their way. And but, you know, they were what we said they needed to be, make a few stops here and there, generate turnovers when the opportunity comes. And I think they did that at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think just in this game, you know, your defense isn't, like you're saying, Charlie, we're not the most talented group, especially on the back end there in the secondary. All you can really ask for is those guys to fly to the ball and play hard. And, I think you keep seeing that every week with our defense. So you can't be, you know, you can't be too mad about the performance that they've been putting on, because, you know, they're playing hard, they're going to the ball, they're playing aggressive. I think eventually we're going to get a little bit more comfortable. I think we're going to figure a couple things out. Obviously, we're not going to, you know, become an elite secondary unit, but I think we can get enough stops, like you're saying, Andy, to win some of those big games. And, you know, we did it against Florida. So I think we can step up again in that big game. I'm interested to see what we do at LSU on the road. I want to see how that defense plays in a road environment now.
I just think it'll be tough again with Jaden Daniels, but like, you're doing all that you can do. Like, you, I'm not trying to make excuses for the secondary. It is what it is. But they're not, you know, they're not meeting expectations. It's just, if you think they're not meeting expectations, then you had too high of expectations. Like, that's the reality of it. We knew exactly what this defense was coming into the season, and then so far they have been exactly that. They can be opportunistic at times, but they will get beat, especially at the short and intermediate level. They're going to be slow passing things off between zones, but they're going to be aggressive. They're going to be well-coached, and you're going to try to do some things to, you know, hide some of your weaknesses. And we know that defensive line, we know that they're going to be well-coached. We knew that they were probably going to be a pretty solid unit. They have been. I still think I'd like to see a better pass rush, but in terms of limiting the running game, it's been a really good unit all year. Again, just that one long run where you blew communication, but I'm not as worried about this defense, I guess. Disappointed, maybe, but worried, no. They are what they thought we were. they are what we thought they were. Yeah, there we go.
You got it.
There we go. And we let them off the hook. Anyway, Sam, we'll go ahead and catch our last break of the first hour, and we'll talk a little bit more at Tennessee, Florida on the other side. Back here on the Blitz, wrapping up hour one. This is all your fault, Sam.
What was that?
For picking Kansas State before I could.
Oh.
Confidence picks this week. It came down to Sunday Night Football. Me and Andy.
Hate to do it to you, Charlie.
No, you didn't.
I hate it. I hate to have to do this to you. I didn't want you to have to lose.
I sat here and told you with complete confidence Kansas State is going to win that football game. Since July, I've been waiting to pick this game. I've had it written down. Bet Kansas State money line since July. I had a reminder in my phone. Like, I could not wait. I was so excited.
Did you at least get in
here? I did.
There you go.
Had a good day.
Made some money, and you're going to spin a wheel. I mean,
yeah.
Look at the positives.
Yeah. But I had to pivot to a different underdog, which still won, by the way. Shout out to us. We got two of our three dogs a week.
Mine was close, I will say. Maryland put up a great fight against Michigan.
Shout out to Terps.
Yeah, almost.
Really, if they just didn't take a kickoff off the dome the first play of the game, like, they might have won.
It's all it takes sometimes.
Blake Corum, though, he continues to just go stupid. I forget which one of you has him.
I picked him. I can't believe I got him.
I updated that, I believe.
He's now in the Heisman conversation.
Oh, you updated it today?
Oh, let's take a look.
Last night.
I'm getting smoked.
Yeah, Charlie's team is Charlie's team is not great.
What's Ben Yurisek doing?
I think all my receivers are hurt though.
Yeah,
so that doesn't help.
Is Miles Bryce hurt too?
They're all hurt. Every single one. I know Josh Downs is back. He scored.
I need Mohamed Ibrahim basically to just carry me to the finish line. But confidence picks. Oh yeah, touchdown draft. Sam has 61 right now. Andy 52. Me 44. Do we ever decide what the punishment is?
No, I have no idea.
Should we just put everything on the punishment wheel and like spin it three times, like the loser or something?
Dang.
We got a long way to go until
that. We do have a long time to go. We can think about it. I just need Cedric Tillman to get back.
Yeah.
Need my receivers to quit getting hurt.
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. But yeah, Sam, Kansas State, me, Ohio, Miami of Ohio, plus 7.5. But I lost last night. I had the 49ers. Andy had the Broncos. Mm. If the 49ers won, Andy's a loser instead.
Broncos country.
Jimmy G'd. So I lost 39-37. Sam finished with 47. I'm still in the lead on the year, 183 to Sam's 178 to Andy's 165. But yeah, I guess I'll spin this punishment wheel now.
Got to airplay it.
Oh yeah, wait, yeah, airplay. Okay, airplay. Engaged.
It's kind of a shame that Charlie didn't get that gallon challenge. After he got that one sip, I was really interested to see how fast he could take that thing down.
He's definitely getting the spicy. Or honestly, I do think we're due for a free pass.
Where's my wheel of names? Where'd it go?
Uh-oh. Did you lose it?
The wheel's gone.
Oh.
There it is. No, it's gone. Oh, no.
Maybe we have to postpone till tomorrow.
We're going to have to postpone the wheel until the start of hour two, I guess.
Man, that's fine. We can do that hour two.
I think Charlie might be rigging this wheel.
That is very interesting. I don't know.
The wheel has not messed up.
Is it on your computer?
The times that Andy and I have had to spin it. Why is it messing up for Charlie?
Is it on your computer?
No, it's on my phone. It's just I have the wheel saved. I just don't change it.
Do you have like all the options from the
wheel?
I took
a screenshot. I take a screenshot every week so I can see what's left in case it ever went away.
Okay. That's good.
It's so disappointing. I was really excited to spin a wheel.
Yeah.
You can do it hour two. Still got time.
I don't like waiting for things. I'm not patient.
Yeah, I kind of want to spin it now too.
Fair enough.
Let's just end the hour two minutes early so we can get back earlier and spin this wheel. So hour one done. Hour two on deck. Stay with us here on the Blitz.